Chief Whip in the National Assembly, John Steenhuisen. A very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you and good morning to the listeners. It's great to be with you this morning.
Thanks for taking the time. So, of course, this is a major, major story for people, for all of us on social media, for all of us reading and writing about it. But, in fact, it's not a new story for the DA. The DA back, I think it was in 2016, when people were being assessed for the position of the public protector. The DA from the get-go very vocal around their misgivings of this choice of public protector.
Yes, that's right. I mean, we were the only party that opposed the appointment of Mrs. Busisiwe Mkhwebane as public protector. We had some serious concerns around her suitability for office, gaps in her CV, and of course, we were concerned about the involvement of the State Security Agency in the process, and we felt there were better candidates that could have filled that job far more effectively, far more properly, and we wouldn't have had many of the problems that we're having today. But every one of our concerns has unfortunately been confirmed by the behavior of this particular public protector.
What's interesting as well is that the DA is in a fairly unique position in that if the president himself decides that she isn't fit to hold office, there's a danger that it might be perceived as being agenda-driven because she has gone so directly for him in a number of circumstances. The DA stands a little bit aside from all of this, which actually makes your role a much more important one, don't you think?
Yes, of course. Absolutely. But also what we need to do as well is separate out the office of the public protector from the individual that currently occupies that position. So we were, for instance, in the matter relating to the president misleading parliament, the Executive Ethics Act only provides that avenue of that office to report such activity. So while we don't think that Mrs. Busisiwe Mkhwebane is a fit and proper person to be the public protector, it doesn't mean that we should just simply disregard the office of the public protector and the important role that it plays in our constitutional democracy.
Absolutely right. And I saw that you did write something for News 24 on that, where you set that out very, very clearly, saying, stating exactly that, that the office is so vital. And in fact, we've seen how vital it's been. It's, the office, of, Thuli Madonsela when she was in that position, played a pivotal role in exposing some of the corruption and many of the issues. How do you think the latest allegation around this, I think it was $5,000, whatever that figure was, that was paid to Busisiwe Mkhwebane from a Hong Kong bank account. How does that now weigh in on this, in addition to all of the other issues which actually are perhaps more around her competency?
Well, obviously it's very concerning because it adds just simply to the pile of other issues that have arisen. But I think more importantly are the very, very glaring objects of a failure to understand the law, the role of her office, and where her powers begin and end in terms of the Constitution. The cases that she's losing in court are not complex legal matters. These are simple legal matters, like the separation of powers, about what her role in the Constitution is. And that should be, of course, a major concern. These allegations obviously need to be tested. They remain allegations at the moment relating to the payment linked to the Guptas, but certainly they just add to the cloud of uncertainty and doubt around the suitability of Ms. Mkhwebane to continue in office.
What is the process of having her removed?
Well, Parliament, there's no real process that's been decided on because this is new territory that we're in, but I would imagine that if Parliament follows the same procedure they used for the removal of the President of the Republic, because both are constitutional creation, I think that Parliament would be on safe ground. But what happens, what needs to happen now is the Justice Committee must sit and decide on a process. And obviously that process would require to give Mrs. Mkhwebane an opportunity to state her case, to put her views before the committee, before it reached any decision. You obviously can't just simply conduct a process to remove her without giving her an opportunity. So she would have to answer to these serious allegations. She'd have to answer to these very serious standing findings by the Constitutional Court against her, which essentially say that she was dishonest and lied to the court and was unprofessional. And then the committee will then weigh up and assess those. It will make a decision and a resolution will go to the House. If it's required to remove the public protector, require two-thirds majority in the House.
The reality is, though, and a very cynical view of this, which I guess is most people's view of the public protector at the moment, is that in fact she's doing a fantastic job. If her agenda is to divert attention away from real corruption. Because if you look at our dialogue and if you look at our conversation over the last year, if you look at social media, the trends, as well as everything else we're talking about, she's completely successfully diverted attention away from the matters that she should be adjudicating to issues that get us very, very worked up and quite upset and everybody engaged in. But in fact, if the allegations are true that she reports to another master, and that might be the Zuma camp, then in fact she's achieving exactly what it is that they would want, which is a diverting of attention. What's your thoughts
absolutely
on that?
Absolutely, and I think if one looks at the cases, if you see what's emerged from the Zondo Commission, why is the public protector not jumped on any one of those hundreds of cases that have emerged from the Zondo Commission as it relates to state capture and real corruption? Instead, she's reviving a 10-year-old retirement case with Mr. van Lochrenberg and Arvin Pillay at SARS. She seems to have an obsession with SARS. And I just think that in the grander scheme of things, and she's now also pursuing Mr. Keith Vetter's appointment. In the grander scheme of things, I think we've got far more important issues of grand-scale corruption and rent-seeking in South Africa that should be the focus of a public protector, where we'll be actually going after the real perpetrators and thieves in South Africa rather than going after people who she obviously has a political agenda against.
That said, though, if there are allegations against the president or Pravin Gordhan, those have got to be, even if we might like him or dislike him or think that he's the right person to be leading the country at the moment, especially in comparison to anything that we've had before him, it doesn't mean that he should be protected from any form of scrutiny.
Absolutely. And the law must apply equally to all, and that is one of the fundamental tenets of any democracy, is that everyone is equal before the law. And so if the president has a case to answer, he must answer it, but he must also have his rights entrenched. What we can't have in South Africa is holy cows who can't be touched by legal and law enforcement agencies. We saw that during the Zuma years, where tame prosecutors withdrew charges against them and in a very cynical and politically manipulative way. And what we do is we can't do that. So everybody must be equal before the law, and the law must apply to Cyril Ramaphosa as much as it applies to you or I or any one of the listeners.
Absolutely. How do you see it playing out?
Well, I think that it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the review case the president has brought. I think the court's already given some direction and indication by granting Gordhan the interdict in the Pumelelo matter as well, where the public protector was found against and a report was, a remedial action was interdicted. I think that it's going to be very interesting to see how this particular case pans out, but surely you reach a stage where the court losses and the reversals of your work become so significant that you do the honourable thing by stepping down. Or alternatively, if you're not prepared to, the Parliament has to step in and do the job that the Constitution intended for us to do.
Yeah, absolutely, one would hope. Before I let you go, the one thing, of course, that bothers, I would imagine, that bothers other people besides me is the flip-flop or perhaps a disingenuous nature of the EFF and how they have initially supported her, then condemned her, but then when agendas align, support her again. What do you make of the EFF's approach to the public protector?
Well, the EFF will flip-flop to wherever their interests lie. They were big proponents of her. They then described her as a Gupta tea lady. And now because they're going after Pravin Gordhan and SARS, who were the biggest agitators against their biggest donors, the Mazotti cigarette, Kalanick cigarette empire, they're now obviously the mutual interest because they need to protect the purse strings of the EFF, and so they've jumped on this bandwagon. And they've been completely all over the road on this issue and Mr. Gordhan right from the beginning. Just 2 years ago, they stood up in Parliament and said that Mr. Zuma should not deliver the sona, and that the only person qualified to deliver that sona on that evening was Pravin Gordhan. Today, Pravin Gordhan is enemy number one because he touched in on their funding studio, and it's obviously affected them very badly. And that's why you're seeing this visceral reaction.
Right, and of course, interesting that they are saying that Cyril Ramaphosa needs to step down until these allegations are cleared, but they're not making the same demands of the public protector. So, again, just a little bit of inconsistency and perhaps agenda-driven politics in that regard. But certainly, this is a story that we're going to keep following, and no doubt, so will the rest of the country. DA Chief Whip in the National Assembly, chatting to us, John Steenhuisen, thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for the amazing work that you continue to do on behalf of all South Africans.